going to play, Sam?
We're going to play Take Me Out to the Ball Game. We're all going to sing it, too.
And we welcome you to another edition of Gateway. Let me start that over again. I usually do it the other way around. All right. 3, 2, 1. And welcome you to another edition of Meet Me at Mutual. I'm your host, Daniel Shoptoff, C70 at the bat, at C70. On Twitter with me, as always, Alan Medlock from Red Dirt Red Bird at AMedlock1 on Twitter. You know, we're about a month into this no baseball thing. And Alan, it's got to have been the longest month, I think, ever in the history of recorded time, because it feels like much, much longer than just 4 weeks since we saw baseball.
It's it kind of seems very, very distant at this point. Our pastime right now is yard work, mowing, and redoing in garden beds, right? And it's, that's our entertainment. It's almost like... I'm growing up in one of those Amish communities that were near where I was raised. So that's kind of all that we've got going on. It's kind of sad. It's funny, after last week when we talked about some of the plans that had come out, and the president had the meeting with the phone call with the commissioners of the all the major sports, that things started leaking out. Like, you could tell there was some prompting that they do want to get some things going this summer. And, you know, the NBA kind of came out with a plan early that they're trying to work on some stuff to get back going. And, you know, the PGA had started announcing their stuff, and the NFL was talking about the draft and everything. And then baseball came out with their plan, which, you know, the bubble plan, which we haven't had much of a chance to talk about there in Arizona, but we just kind of scratched the surface before it was really public. Last week, it was, interesting week, but yeah, I mean, any news is welcome at this point.
For sure. And I want to get into some of these ideas that have come out, but I don't know, there's still a part of me that feels like it's a little bit of a whistling plastic graveyard. You know, I know that they want to play. I know they can talk about all this that they, as much as they want, but you know, it really is until they get an all clear, and that all clear is not there yet. I mean, we're talking about, you know, I know you and I were talking before the show, you were talking about, you know, the peak there might be coming soon. And they're talking about, you know, maybe New York, and this was supposed to be like the worst week and things like that. But, you know, even if this is a peak, there's still a long way to go before you feel comfortable opening things up and not risking another wave of it.
Yeah, it's funny. I know we're going to get into the plans a little bit later, so I'll probably stop. I'll stop short of bringing up too much about it. But the more you hear about it, it's hard to imagine fans being involved, which is a little tough to swallow. That's kind of why I wish that maybe by the end of the month, maybe by the end of May, there's a little more clarity on some of these things, but we don't know. I mean, I feel like we can kind of start seeing some light at the end of the tunnel now. But, you know, as a week ago, I felt like we didn't know any more than we did a month ago. So it's just hard to say. And it's the uncertainty is the worst part to me. But, you know, I don't know. I guess you have to plan somewhere. That's why I was kind of glad that those things came out, just because they were at the table, at least working on things. And it sounds like plans have come out a little bit, but yeah, I mean, it's funny to where in our personal little bubble here in Tulsa in Oklahoma, it's not as bad as a lot of places. And I think that's kind of why we're blessed to be in the middle of the country. But, you see a little bit of clarity in California happening now, but then you hear that all the negative ramifications in New York still, and in Florida where they would be playing, and Louisiana and places like that, and you'd realize that we're a little more sheltered and don't know as much, or we're not feeling the effect like some of these places are.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've talked before about how, you know, basically half my office wound up either being testing positive or honestly having it and maybe not getting tested. But, you know, most of those people are starting to get back to work and, you know, are getting closer to it. And so it's easier for, you know, to feel like that storm has passed and that we're getting to the end of it. But, and like you said, there's only been, you know, what, 20 cases or something in our county. And I don't know how many. I think Arkansas hit 1,000 cases this week, maybe a couple days ago. So it's still not been just overwhelming until you start thinking, you know, maybe we can do this. Maybe this is it. But there's so many variables in this and so many people that know a lot more about it than I do. I mean, I'm not really one to just go rushing out and let's go ahead and do this and, you know, it'll be fine. I think there is a true risk of having this, you know, feel like we've got it under control and then sporting events, you know, bring 40,000 people together and one person, you know, a handful of people have it. And all of a sudden, you know, St. Louis is locked down because everybody's got it again, you know, something like that. And that's not what we want to see. So as much as I hate that there's not any games going, I still have trouble believing. I mean, maybe it's a little bit easier to believe maybe a July 1st kickoff date, but even that's still a little bit dicey. And anything before that just feels like, maybe you're trying to do too much too fast.
Whenever the first reports came out that they were going to do the July 1st and you'd have run the 100 games, and mm-hmm. You and I had kind of done the numbers on those, there's a lot of fascination in these plans to me. I mean, I would kind of like to see them. And there's a part of me that wants to think back that, hey, you just want to see the sport. You just want to see something that's different than what you're seeing every day now. And I'm sure there's some of that. But I do kind of like to see some of these changes, especially if they're just going to be temporary. But yeah, I mean, it's one of those to where I felt like that July plan was one where they were shooting far away to be the safest way. And then when you come back and hear the May plan, you're thinking, that's a little aggressive. I hope they know more than I do. So I was more apt to believe the July plan than anything else that has come out, just because I felt like that was shooting far enough the way that you could figure out something like that. As painful as that was for me to say, because I was kind of hoping that we would get a Memorial Day weekend type opener. And there's no way that's possible, I don't think, right now. I mean, I don't even know if you would, even in a best case scenario, have players until mid-May in any camp, you know? So, you know, it is tough to say, just because there's more of that uncertainty of what the crowds would be like, or even when things start to loosen up a little bit. Like there's kind of some talk already that Tulsa may start loosening some of their guidelines, probably the first or second week of May. Well, what does that mean? Are they going to go from the grouping of people from 10 to 50? Because that still puts you a month away from anything bigger than that. Right. So right. I don't know. I mean, I don't know where to start. And, you know, there's a part of me that wants to say I don't really want to see anything. It's not the same game to me without the crowd, but it would be something for us to watch. And it's, as a competitor, I kind of want to see that. And there's things that I want to see that some of these changes are intriguing to me. But it does seem kind of like a pipe dream right now. And I think there's a lot of plans. I think that there's a lot of people, and I think there's some higher-ups that want to see something started. But I'm not so certain that's the best plan of action.
Yeah, I think that's true. Let's get into that a little bit, maybe a little bit more, because there's been two plans that have come out this week, and the one that came out today, I don't know if it's going to use some of the same things that we heard from the one earlier in the week or not. It really wasn't as flushed out. It didn't feel like. But the first plan, of course, this week was, Major League Baseball takes everybody to Arizona. They use the 10 different fields that they have out there, Chase Field and the minor and the spring training fields, and then maybe some other local fields. And everybody stays there for at least to start the season. I don't know if the whole season, I mean, they're kind of talking about maybe the whole season quarantine there for 4.5 months. There would be no mound visits. There would be electronic strike zone to keep the umpires away from home plate. Excuse me. There were the players would sit in the stands 6 feet apart because the stands would be empty. I think it was, you know, everybody was going to use the DH, and I don't know how they were going to, I don't know if they were going to just, I don't even know if that one had it sorted out to National League, American League, had they figured out a schedule type of thing or not. But as much as that was interesting, and as much as maybe theoretically it could work, you start thinking about how to put that into practice, and I just don't see that being a feasible option at all.
Yeah, that's, I felt like everything you listed off, I felt like it was a checklist they were throwing out there to say, well, this is something that could happen if we have concern here. This is something that could happen that we have concern here. And, you know, some of it did kind of bordered on absurd. And the thing is, to me, I'm going to preface this by saying, any news where they're working on something is good news to me, you know, because they're at the table, they're trying to figure some stuff out, whether it's maybe too urgent in a way that you and I may not think is right, but at least they're working on something. I do feel like in a way that both of these reports are a way of basically public relations, public polling a little bit to see what kind of results they get, what kind of feedback they get from these things, to see what kind of participation may happen. I don't know. And that in the back of my mind, I'm thinking that, okay, that was one plan. This Florida plan, or the spring training homes, maybe another plan. Maybe in a few days they leak another one out that we're going to start hearing some more things about. And, you know, just to kind of gain the public interest. I agree with you. There was just too many moving parts to make the Arizona thing happen. And I feel like there is probably a good number of guys that want to play under any circumstances. I do wonder if some of the veterans that have established money that aren't in a need for a paycheck would push back on that a little bit and just not participate. I think that may be a fear. So I don't know. I mean, it's a crazy situation to kind of think of all that would have to happen for that one single Arizona plan to take place. And are we going to be in a public safe enough place publicly to make something like that happen? You know, I don't know. I mean, because it would honestly, even the hotel workers that would be housed with the players, I mean, the net gets pretty wide, even taking those safety precautions.
Yeah. I mean, you've got to have them so isolated, and you got to then isolate the people that are around them. And, you know, you're talking broadcast crews, you're talking a small town basically, to try to keep that all together and then to keep people away from, you know, people they want to interact with. Yeah. I mean, just that on its face, besides some of the other stuff that just didn't make a lot of sense, that on the face of it just seems to rule everything out.
Yeah. It was very odd. I was like, this could be kind of cool, because you're thinking that it may have been a temporary thing, and then you realize that it doesn't necessarily sound like it may be temporary, and then you're just like, that's pretty far-fetched. And after reading into it, I mean, even in the night of, and then you could turn it that next morning, because it came out so late, then that morning of, you kind of look at it a little bit more kind of pick it apart a little bit. It's, you just knew that, man, this is a whole lot of trouble to get this going. How bad do they want to get it started? And you kind of wonder if that wasn't the first plan to put out to, maybe, I don't want to say this because then it gets a little bit political, but then kind of please the legislation that's going on to try to get started. You know what I mean?
Maybe. I hadn't really put it together until you mentioned it, that, you know, it did come after the big conflab with the president. So maybe there was some idea of, hey, keep people excited, keep people focused, keep people thinking about this is going to happen, because we're really going to try to make this happen this year. But, you know, these plans. I mean, in like, let's just take a little thing here. No mound visits. Okay. Well, if you're doing no mound visits because of social distancing, I mean, you've got two guys that are probably going to be closer than 6 feet apart somewhere in the, you know, getting ready for the game, or, you know, I mean, are the players going to get ready at the hotel and then, you know, not shower till they get back to the hotel, you know, all that stuff. Or what are they going to, I mean, I don't know how this would work, but not only that, I mean, the batter and the catcher are going to be within 6 feet, unless you're going to have the catcher, you know, catching way back there at the back of the thing. That's not going to work. Yeah, I mean, and then, you know, if a guy gets on first base, a guy gets, especially on first base, you know, they're only going to be within a foot or two of each other because, you know, otherwise it's just, oh, here, still second base, still third base, you know. You know, what do you do in the outfield? Two guys going after a ball, you know? I mean, pass each other, maybe, and run into each other. Who knows? I mean, some of that stuff, like robot umpires and no mound visits, just seems, it's like, oh, we're trying to do this as overkill and being super precautious while totally ignoring that the rest of the game kind of negates that. So, you know, that kind of stuff seemed a little silly to me overall, just because of, you know, if they're going to catch it from each other, that's, you know, if somebody from one team's going to give it to somebody on another team, you know, there's going to be opportunities for that. And mound visits and, you know, umpires not being there, that's not the case. That's not where it's going to happen, or that's not the only place, at least.
Yeah, it all those things. I always thought, you know, that the plays up the middle, you know, yeah, bang bang plays at second and all kinds of stuff. You're just like, I mean, what are we doing? I mean, if we got to take those kind of precautions, that seems a little severe.
Yeah, and again, and, you know, Alex Chris Foley brought this up a bit on Chirps this week. Was basically, if you have to do this much to get baseball on the field, is it time to put baseball on the field? It probably isn't. I mean, if people still can't go and get into groups of 50 or 100 or whatever around the world, and I get the idea that baseball can be a diversion, that, like you said, it gives some people something to watch while they're stuck at home, but it also puts, you know, baseball a little bit ahead of everybody else. You know, why do they get to do this? And there would have to be, you know, consistent testing done. You know, why aren't they getting the test? And then, you know, because we are having some problems with people, you know, I think it's better than it was, but there's still some issues with, you know, getting enough tests. And then, you know, what does happen if somebody catches it and it flares something up, you know, all of a sudden, you know, maybe one person gets it. Maybe that whole ecosystem does, you know, I mean, it could be one broadcaster or something. And all of a sudden three teams have people down and you've got to shut everything down. It feels like they're trying too hard. And again, you know, as some people pointed out, a lot of these teams and leagues have insurance for interruption, you know, of play, but very few of them have pandemic written into them. I think a couple of them do, but baseball probably doesn't. And so without that, they lose all this revenue, plus there's no insurance to get it back. No wonder they're trying to hurry up.
Trying to put something out there for certain. Yeah, that's but no, I completely agree with Alex on that. And that's that was the first thing too, is I was like, I'm gonna try not to make too much of this. I understand that they're just trying to get back on the field, and then, you know, the plan, you're like, that doesn't even look right. I mean, it's I'm not certain this makes sense, it, you know, anywhere. If you feel like you need to get back that I mean, there's too many moving parts, and where it feels like this is a cash grab and just to get out there, you know. And it was a little bizarre.
Yeah, and it's just, there was something else out of that too. I mean, there's so many different things that didn't make a lot of sense there. The other part was trying to play in Arizona in the summer.
Yeah.
Because Chase Field's the only one of those ball fields they were talking about that's you know, enclosed and air conditioned. And even if you try to play all those games at 7 o'clock at night, which I don't know that you could.
What are you talking about?
I think you'd have to have some, probably some double headers or something like that. And, but even then, I mean, it's going to be 80, 90 degrees at, you know, 10 o'clock. Plus not only the fact that, you know, the stamina thing, but, you know, everybody, we've often talked about how, or have people have talked about, maybe not we have, because it's not that relevant to us, but how the stats are skewed out in Arizona, you know, in spring. You know, even if you got to play all this, you know, would a 400 hitter in an Arizona league that played for 2 months count as a 400 hitter, even though it was because it was a full season? I mean, not, I mean, that's a way, way down on the list, but still, it's one of those things like, you know, how willing are we to disrupt the basic framework of the game?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, because it's one of those to where I do feel like there's going to be some oddities and there's going to be some things to try to allure fans in. And I agree with a lot of those things. But you're right. I mean, it turns into, you know, why don't you play with a tennis ball this year, you know, type situation. Yeah. You know what I mean by that? You're just like,
I think that was last year.
Yeah. How far are we willing to go on these things? I mean, it's, you know, it is a little bizarre. I mean, it's funny because that one, I was glad to hear the movement. You know, I guess I'm repeating myself on that one. But there's also like today's report. And we, like I said, we could talk this through before we get into it. Little bit by little bit, I feel like there's a little, I'm intrigued by some of the things that they're willing to do and willing to negotiate and willing to, you know, put in place. I feel like this was a bigger step than, I think this was a step up from the Arizona plan, to be honest with you.
I don't know. I mean, on one side, you know, it does give a little bit more familiarity to teams because that was one option in the first plan. All those teams that train in Arizona are at least used to it and playing in their own ballparks and such, whereas all the Florida teams would be kind of at a disadvantage. So this way, at least you got everybody playing in quote unquote home stadiums. And you do have the option that if somebody gets sick in Florida, you can continue to play in Arizona and vice versa. But boy, I don't know. I can understand a shortened season. I can understand a few, you know, quirks and things like that. But I mean, one of the great things about baseball, I mean, so many of them, but one of the great things is being able to compare this team to that team, this season to that season. And I know there's going to be differences in the 2020 season if they have one. But how can you say, oh, well, you know, the Cardinals won the division against the Yankees, or no, was it the Nationals and the Astros and the Marlins and the Mets? I mean, that, you know, what? And then they're going to go and they play in the World Series against the Cubs, you know, or something like that. It's like, man, that just, and I get, maybe it shouldn't matter, but to me, I could handle a lot of things before I could handle just a complete overhaul of the whole league.
I'd like that idea though. I like to change up in that because the way that I look at this, that asterisk going up on the season when you miss opening day, regardless.
That's true.
And there's some intrigue to me in this. I like the schedule, I don't even know what to say because there's not a schedule out, but some of the schedule talk that I liked about, you know, playing all those teams in whatever division you get put into 12 times and splitting it up and doing that just within the state. I don't know. I was kind of intrigued by that. And it would be a little bit different. You know, it's still hard to say because I'm like, man, that'd be awesome because these guys, these fans never wouldn't get to see that. Well, there's not going to be any fans in there. You know what I mean? Yeah. If this is the plan they're going to do. So it doesn't, I've got to temper my expectations on that though. But yeah, like the historical setting or the historical meaning in this season to me, that takes pretty much a backseat. Now, the competitiveness of it, I would like to see those things really. And then it's a fascinating look into what actually could happen. You know, it's funny. The first thing I thought about was, well, the allure to some of these teams in Arizona is everything's so close, and not all the stadiums in Florida, most of them are far away. But if you're going to do it for a three-game set anyway, that doesn't make that much difference. You know what I'm saying? On those travel days. So I can see it being fairly even, but it does like this one seems much more feasible than the all-encompassing in Arizona. This one seems to make a little bit more sense. And it sounded like I kind of thought if there was going to be a delay to the season, they were going to do something like this anyway. But still yet, it's still one of those you're just like, I want to see it. I'm fascinated by it. I think that you could do some really interesting things and really trying to do this as an experimental season as far as adding some things in and whatnot, and not it wouldn't be a black eye because you're not doing it in what is going to be a real season, essentially. But then in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, should we change it at all if we're going to do it? I mean, are we that desperate for it? I mean, I would like to watch it. But also, I mean, I'm like, we're going to be watching the Cardinals every day knowing that we'll never go to St. Louis. I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's the thing that's in the back of my mind the whole time. But I am intrigued by some of the scheduling and type options that they could come up with.
Yeah, for me, it would be really hard for me to feel like this season was anything more than exhibition games, like an extended spring training, even if the games counted. Because you're playing in spring training, you're playing teams that you don't normally play, you know.
I feel like you would get over that fairly quickly when your blood got pumping, because it's going to be the rosters. You know what I mean? I kind of feel like that I could overlook that fairly quickly.
Maybe. I mean, I would like to see the games back, but I still think that, you know, I don't know. I'd still feel like, you know, we're not seeing the Brewers, we're not seeing the Reds, we're not seeing the Cubs, you know, at all. I mean, to teams that we're fairly familiar with. We have this idea of in rivalries, and we know how to measure ourselves. You go up against the Yankees and the Astros all year long, and it's, I don't know, it just feels unsettling to me. I mean, yeah, I understand that that's a small point, and I'm sure, like you said, once the games get going, then we would not worry about it as much. But yeah, I don't know. I think it would still just sit wrong with me. Sure. But I'm more traditionalist.
No. That's where I was going to go with my next point. That's the beauty of the sport, is that you know, I don't know if baseball has other sports don't have the traditionalist that baseball does, to me. And I like that. I like that a change in the norm is going to bother a faction. That's why the game's so beautiful to me. And it's one of those to where I'm kind of in one of those to where I never thought I would say that I was ready for a universal designated hitter, but it's probably coming. So we probably need to get used to it type of situation. There's a part of me that I would kind of like the respite from not the same old a little bit. And it's one of those in a shortened season. I kind of welcome it, and I don't know if that's me talking or if it's desperation talking. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I get that. And part of me is concerned, obviously not on the extremes, but there are things like the universal DH. You know, maybe it's coming. Maybe it's – they keep saying it is. Maybe it is, but – you know, as of right now, it'd be, what, 2022, 2023 before it would even be a possibility. And, you know, that could be a bargaining chip on the table. Who knows what? You know, now I feel like anything that they do this 2020 and even in this experimental lab of a season that they like they like the result, even if it's not a good idea, they're going to try to force that in.
Sure.
Permanently. Yeah. You know, I think back to 2011. We've talked a lot about, I think everybody's kind of thought a lot about 2011 with them running old games and stuff like that. But 2011 obviously ended game 162, and that was a wild night. We all know that. It was so much was on the line and things changed and all that. Well, baseball then thought, oh, we can create that excitement all the time by adding the second wild card and the play-in game, you know? And I mean, I feel like that was kind of a overstep. And I also tried to do a few things like play all the games at one time, which is not a bad thing on the last day. I don't argue that, but it just feels like there's sometimes they like to grab onto something and then, you know, oh, it worked this year, we're going to make it permanent. Even though that may not be, I mean, you know, the DH kind of came in that way, right? The DH technically was an experiment and they just never stopped it. So that's what, I mean, again, like I was talking with Tara this week about that, and she pointed out they're not going to play in Arizona all the time. They're not going to, you know, have the players sit in the stands all the time. Some of these things are not going to happen. We know sure. that. But some of the things around the edges of the game that actually the framework that can continue, I would be concerned that they would take that and maybe use that as a foot in the door to something else to make it a little bit less of the game that we're used to and sure. more of a video game type thing. You know what I'm saying?
I think your fears are warranted on the designated hitter and if you're bothered by a shortened schedule. I think those two things, I think they're probably chomping at the bit to do both of those. Mm-hmm. And that's one of those to where that this completely opens the door for that, unfortunately.
Sure.
You know, so, and I do feel like some of those things may happen. You know, another thing too, to go back on the Florida Arizona type split, the that came out today. Mm-hmm. There's a part of me that likes redoing the schedule. And I was kind of hoping that even if they did start in July, they would redo the schedule and make it all division heavy,
right?
To keep that regional travel, to keep the regional right. travel. So I liked that instead of just picking the schedule up. And yeah, we had kind of talked about that last week a little bit. That was another allure to me because I was thinking I kind of like the idea of just ditching the schedule and going from somewhere else. And I understand I'm not the one doing that, so it's very easy for me to say. To schedule for an 8-team men's league is terrible. I can only imagine to do it for, you know, 30 different cities. I completely get it. So it would stink and it's easy for me to say, but that was kind of the allure to it as well. So I was thinking, okay, good. You ditch the schedule and you kind of go this route. But even in the conversation, it still feels like this is a long way to go, but at least there's dialogue. They're having dialogue.
Yeah. And it is very interesting to hear them do the, as you talk about the schedule, maybe think about this, you know, the idea that we were talking about earlier, you know, like last week or wherever, they would just pick up in July, they were picking up the schedule way it was.
Yeah.
And making the schedule, and they'd fit in games here and there, which I don't know how they were going to do. Like I said, you know, how do you squeeze in a game against the Dodgers, you know, when you're playing, you know, the Marlins, you know, can't just go fit a 3-game series in an off day out there, stuff like that. But they did. It did sound like when they were talking about this, like they wanted to use the same schedule because they've got tickets sold to yeah. these things, and you know they didn't want to redo everything. Well, these two plans that have come out now obviously have just kind of thrown that out the window. And I get it's a different. There's some different situations there, and they're trying to maybe. But I think that maybe that's the idea is they know they're not going to get back to regular baseball for quite some time, if at all, this year. And they're trying to salvage anything they can right now. That's what it feels like.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And that's, you just wonder if we're not going to have another plan before too long that, to get the public opinion and to see how far that goes. And it will be interesting that if there is baseball played, how they're going to do it, or if they're waiting for maybe some breakthrough to where this won't be, you know, as long as we may think. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, where it would be interesting to be a fly on the wall in those conversations, it'd be a stressful one as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it'd be fun to sit in on them, but if you had to try to make some decisions and things like that. And like I said, I mean, so much of this is completely out of their hands.
Yeah.
I mean, you can say, okay, we project by end of May that there's going to be very limited cases. But you don't know that. And then there's still that. Even if you knew that there were only going to be like 100 cases in St. Louis, it's like, do you run that risk? Probably you do there. But what if somebody that is asymptomatic, don't have symptoms, That's the word. I'm not going to try. I guess it's Friday. that have symptoms that comes to a ball game and gets people infected. I mean, that's the real problem with this disease is that you don't have to be sick to pass it on. You don't have to have these symptoms. It's not like you can, you know, take everybody's temperature as they walk into Busch Stadium. And if they've got a fever, they get kicked out, because there's people that may not have a fever that may carry it right in. And that's, I think, going to be the most dangerous balancing act, or the most difficult one, I guess, maybe not dangerous, but is that idea of it looks good, it looks clear, but how confident are we that it's not going to happen again?
Yeah. I mean, and it feels like we have a long way to go for some of those determinations and for people to actually feel comfortable doing those and making that decision. You know, it's tough. It's a tough time. I mean, it's one of those to where nothing can surprise you at this point. You know, we want everything to come back, but if it doesn't, you know, I don't know if any of us would be shocked. I think we're hopeful. I think that, you know, professional sports leagues, I think there has to be a sense of unity on this, because one of the leagues doesn't want to be the one to come back and make the mistake. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that that was maybe some of that call. Maybe I'm giving too much credence to it. Maybe it was hey, you guys have done a good job. We're sorry what we're doing to you, or we're sorry what this is doing to you. We don't know the context of it.
Right.
I think that we probably get a pretty good idea when everybody starts putting out reports of plans that they have in place about possibly getting things moving. But you know, like you said, I mean, there's a lot of variables in that, and there's some scary variables in that, and it seems like we need it, back to what I was saying. It's there needs to be a little bit more clarity before there's any more movement.
Yeah, and that's a difficult thing, and we don't have any clarity, which means we're just kind of talking in circles to some degree.
I'll be planting more flowers next week for the weather.
Yeah, yeah. I will say it hasn't been that much. I mean, I just keep going up and going to work and coming home. So, yeah. Things aren't just terribly different, just except that, you know, I don't do anything after I get home and the kids have no school. So it hasn't been just terribly different for me personally, but I understand it's going to be an issue.
Well, and no, I completely agree. I mean, and that's one of those situations for some of it from the medical community on my side of it is interesting, mm-hmm. because kind of like the media allowed in dugouts and clubhouses, to where you kind of feel like this is one way that they're going to amend that, to where they don't always have the accessibility that they do now. On my side of the fence in medicine, I kind of wonder if we're going to do the same thing. Like, if it's going to be a while before things get back to normal on my side, just because, you know, you have guys like myself that, you know, are in a surgical environment, and you don't know. I mean, it's one of those to where you don't know what's coming in, and I'm sure they're going to start limiting that. They're doing that in hospitals everywhere. And you just wonder on these COVID positive patients, if they're going to keep them away from, if they tested positive at some time during this, if they're not going to keep them away. I mean, it's just everyday life's going to change. And it's odd we're in this situation to where, you know, 9/11 felt like a punch in the gut. This is kind of like a slow burn, really.
Well, and I think we talked about it, you know, 9/11, as difficult as that was for the country, you know, the actual loss, I guess, was kind of concentrated, you know, and once it happened and you got everything situated, you know, baseball was gone a week, you know, and they kind of picked back up after that. And, you know, not to minimize at all, because it was a difficult time. But it was also, you know, for us especially, we're miles away from that situation. Sure. And so it was a little bit of a remove. And, you know, now you've got it throughout the country and a continuing event. So you're right, that slow burn, that it's not that we can say it's over, or, you know, this all happened, you know, like one morning and we're still dealing with the ramifications. This is an ongoing thing, and that's difficult for us because we're not used to, as a country, really not used to that. You know, it's, if nothing has been taken over the country like this ever that I could think, or at least not, you know, not any time recently.
Yeah. Yeah. It's bizarre. I mean, every day is bizarre. I mean, it's, yeah, it's fascinating time. It's crazy. Crazy things we'll be able to tell, you know, grandkids that we lived through.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've gone a long time and not really ever hit on the Cardinals, but, there has been some Cardinal content, if you will, on the various media. You know, Fox Sports Midwest ran the four games that the Cardinals won in the 2011 World Series this week. So you could watch game six again, which I watched the end of. The, you know, KMOX has been running every game from that whole stretch run starting at the end of August. I think they're around, you know, mid-September now. I caught a couple of innings of that on the radio. I noticed just now, I think Major League MLB Network's going to have some of the 82 games, game two and game seven.
I didn't know that.
On Monday, it looks like.
Awesome.
Which it's, and we'll get to that in a little bit. I think an interesting point too, but there's stuff on, but I don't know. I have not necessarily gone out of my way to watch or listen to those games. And I don't know if, I mean, I guess partly because kind of know what happened. Is that kind of what you're thinking? It's baseball and it's great. And there's definitely some value there, but it's not the same as something new.
No. Yeah, completely. I mean, it's, and it's one of those, I'll do the same thing. I'll watch when I'm, you know, I'll watch when available, you know, if it's easy accessibility. But other than that, you know, it's on the competitive with the competitive nature, it's tough to watch those knowing. I mean, it's really cool to see all the plays. I'm like on the opening day, watching game six was awesome. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And you're just like, okay, I enjoy this, but you know, not an everyday deal. You know, there's a sense of boredom that comes over to watching it. And you know, I don't know. And I don't want to downplay anything that they're doing. I mean, the networks are doing the best that they can. And I mean, I think the KMOX coverage is awesome. You know, because they mm-hmm. do stuff about it just about every night. And, yeah, but I'm with you. I mean, it's not appointment television by any means. And it's nice to see. And they were great moments and they were great memories. But you kind of – some of those times where it gets my blood pumping, it's almost more of a downer to me because I'm thinking, well, crap, now – you know what I mean? Now we won't get anything fresh for a while. That's why a lot of the basketball games did that to me. I couldn't really watch a lot of the replays of the tournament games. Just because I was like, man, that's just 3 weeks that you go from 3 weeks to into opening day. It's just the best time of the year. Then you go into the Masters. It's awesome. But yeah, it is. It's just difficult. It's difficult for me to watch them. They're entertaining, but it's you know, it's almost like it's basically rerun programming essentially.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I would. It was very nice to be in the car and hear a little bit of Cam Wex. I mean, that was nice. But, you know, even during the regular season, I'm not, you know, unless I'm in the car, I'm not listening to the radio because I'm going to have the game on because I'm in the house. I don't usually have the radio going on in the house. That's just the way I am. So, you know, that's a different thing. Now, I will say, and I'm glad to see that, and maybe that's just a factor of how things are going to go because they're getting so deep into this, but it is good to see like MLB Network and some of these other places start to run some of these very older games, you know? We all love game six, but we've also seen it a good number of times in the last 9 years. I mean, that 1982 World Series, I was 7?
Sure.
So, you know, and I wasn't watching baseball back then. So I've only seen like the clips of, you know, at the very end of the game. I haven't necessarily seen a lot of that series. I saw that, you know, they were running some games of Ron Guidry recently. I think it was his birthday. And so they were running two or three games of his. You know, just being able to, I saw there was I think maybe been during the opening day, but some point in time they had a Clemente game on MLB. I think it was on the website, like maybe on Facebook or something like that. I think it's really good and really maybe important and maybe more interesting for them to play some of these and let people see Clemente, let them see some of the legends play just when they were just playing, you know? And it's not games that we've almost got memorized either.
Exactly. It's, I'm glad you brought that up. One thing that I was entertained and really glad to see, and it was really uplifting, was last Saturday, FS1 ran four straight This Week in Baseballs from the early 70s or the late 70s to early 80s. And it was awesome to see. One, that's the best lead in it, our closeout song, you know, baseball song. It's so good. Mel Allen's on all of them. And it was cool to see a lot of those that we wouldn't have seen or wouldn't remember. You know, I would love to see, so I hope they run those tomorrow. I don't even know if they will, but they ran four of them back to back, kind of did the same thing. I was like, I didn't remember it just because I would have been three or four, but it was really cool to see those, you know. And then I was, cause Keith Hernandez in the Cardinals infield was a big part of one of them. And that was really cool to see. And now that kind of stuff I like, you know, just some of the older games and I would like to see more of those that weren't broadcast so heavily because of the media, the ease and accessibility that we have now. They're bringing back some of those. I do like watching some of those. I would watch a lot of the 85, even 86, maybe 87 series a lot if they brought those through, you know, that ones that you don't see a lot. But yeah, as far as any fairly recent in the last 10 years or so, you've seen that so much. So I'm glad you pointed that out. I had kind of forgotten about that. But yeah, last Saturday morning was really cool because they ran those shows.
Yeah, you saying that, it reminded me, and I can't find it now. I want to say at one point in time that maybe iTunes, you could buy those old This Week in Baseball seasons. And I had at least one episode of one. I don't know if I had more than that. But it is. I mean, This Week in Baseball is absolutely great because, you know, they would hit little short things and talk about different players and stuff like that, and players that might have been good at that time, but you don't remember anymore, you know, that may have had one year or something. I think that's be great to see more of those. Hopefully they'll do some more of that. But yeah, I guess it was a sad reason, but they had the 1968 World Series Game 6 on MLB Network not too long ago, like a day or two ago, because of a passing of Al Kaline. And I mean, that was interesting because the Cardinal fans, we know about the 1968 World Series, but we're usually watching Game 1, you know, when Bob Gibson strikes everybody out. It was interesting to have a game that was not the most famous game necessarily from that series, at least not from our perspective. I didn't get a chance to watch it. I don't know if Kaline had done something, you know, remarkable in that game or not, but I think it's really cool for them to bring some of these guys, and they got so much time now.
Yeah,
and they've got, I mean, and baseball's got such thought. I mean, they've got the rights to every game. It's not even like Fox Sports Midwest, which, you know, probably doesn't go back far enough to get some really cool games. Although, I wonder if they're going to show like this, you know, the closing of Busch Stadium 2 ceremonies and stuff like that again. Who knows? They might, but you know, they can only go back so far. But you know, MLB Network should be able to go all the way back to the 40s or whatever, you know, whatever is out there. So it would be really interesting to, I mean, you know, if they played some of the 64 World Series, I think the Cardinal fans would watch quite a bit of that.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny too that you bring those up, even about 82, to where, you know, I don't even think MLB does a good job of publicizing what the network is going to be showing. You know what I mean? I don't know why, because I mean, I didn't even know that. I mean, it's one of those to where not their Twitter page nor their Facebook page, I don't think it has shown anything like
that. It was on the Cardinals official site, but that's I just happened to see it there.
Yeah, and see, that's, I hadn't seen it at all. So just or now I'm not going to say that I probably hadn't just glanced over it either, thinking it was something more recent. You know, that's that could have happened. But yeah, that would be a lot of fun. You know, the watching some of those 80s games and even going back as far as the 60s and 70s. And you know, I think that you would probably get, I'm assuming ESPN owns the right to this because they're the ones that brought it through, but some of the home run derbies, you know, when Mantle and those guys were involved, you know, because that was one of those, you rushed home to school, watch it in black and white, you know, when I was a kid, the reruns. I mean, you could probably get a lot of mileage that way, but you know, I don't know. You're exactly right though. They have the opportunity to really bring out some stuff that, some historical type games to bring attention to those type things.
Yeah, it would be nice. It'd be fun. It'd be fun to see, and hopefully they'll do a little bit more of that as they go along. So, to wrap up, I did see another thing I saw on the official site was an interesting, if maybe not necessarily big debate, asking who the next cardinal to have their number retired would be. And the options that they gave were Ted Simmons, Albert Pujols, and Yadier Molina. I know Ted Simmons is in the Cardinal Hall of Fame. I know Ted Simmons is going into the Cooperstown Hall of Fame this summer, and perhaps a ceremony that nobody will ever be able to attend. What do you think about it? I don't know that I'm necessarily all that excited about him being a retired number.
Well, and it's a great question. I mean, because the other two are shoe-ins. And that their time will come on that. So that would be whoever retires first, or if they do it at the same time, probably a big deal in St. Louis. I don't know. That's a really good question. I didn't read through those polls. I did think that was pretty interesting. Somebody had a classic one that I didn't even know wasn't retired yet, and I cannot remember who it was. It escapes me, but yeah, I'm not real sure how I would approach that. I mean, it feels like you only have so many numbers to retire anyway. That's probably one of those things that probably needs to be made very, very special.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and I mean, it's 23.
Yeah.
And you may retire it for Ted Simmons.
Yeah.
But there's a whole generation that's going to tie that to somebody else.
Exactly.
I honestly don't know that they would have retired Bruce Sutter's number, except that it was already retired
for
Jackie Robinson. And then they were able to add him in that. Sure. I don't know if they would have had he worn 41, if he would have a retired number. He might. I don't know. But I don't know. I mean, it's a problem for me because, Ted Simmons is before my time. He was out of St. Louis before I started watching stuff. And I know he's good. But I also have problems he wasn't a career Cardinal, which of course Albert isn't either, but it's a different thing. He didn't end his career as a Cardinal.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think I would wait. I would, like you said, you gotta be careful with these numbers. They've got a whole bunch of them already retired, and there's some more coming with Pujols and Molina. I don't know. I just don't think, I don't know.
Well, and it's interesting you say that, just because kind of like how you and I talk about Keith Hernandez, how a lot of recent memory links Hernandez to the Mets. Well,
right.
In my early days, in my baseball card days, Simmons was a Brewer. Mm-hmm. That's how I remember Simmons, and that may not mean much for some small kid out of Inola, Oklahoma. You know what I'm saying? It's still one of those in my memory. I probably don't carry the weight that some and the passion that some for him to retire, just because I kind of equate him league wise with somebody else.
Hmm. I feel like he's the kind of player that the Cardinals built the Hall of Fame for. I mean,
sure.
Not specifically for him, because it was specifically done for Willie McGee. But that's basically the same thing, right? Willie had a great career. He had a great career in St. Louis, beloved. But there's no real need to retire 51. I mean, Willie was good. He was maybe a Cardinal legend, if you will. But I don't know that he necessarily needs his number retired. But now he's in the Hall of Fame, and he gets that honor. And I feel like that's probably enough for Ted Simmons as well. I think if you're not willing to put a statue out front of them, they don't necessarily need to have their number retired inside.
No. Yeah. It's, and you know what? I had to bring up the reference page on Simmons. Parts of 13 seasons, probably a stupid statement for me to say, but that's in my early days of baseball, Simmons was a Brewer, and it's
sure.
So that's, I don't know. Can't say that I can't agree with you. You know what I'm saying? I feel I'm right there with you. Do you wonder? You're just like, well, are we coming? How special should this be? And are we completely running out of numbers because we're giving them to everybody that you know what I mean? I mean, where is the line drawn on that?
Well, and I look at, and I, it's one that I've looked at before here. You know, Joe Medwick is the guy, Hall of Famer. You know, won the MVP, won the Triple Crown. He was on a World Series team. We're number seven, and seven's not been retired. You know, granted, he came along before they really did a lot of retiring number ceremonies and things like that. But if you're going to now, you could have easily retired that number if you're going to go with this idea that it's Cardinals that go into the Hall of Fame as your criteria. But I know I mentioned it to Derek Gould one time on Twitter, and there was some, he said that basically there had not been any desire by the front office to do that. And if they, you know, I get that. They're almost out of single numbers anyway. You know, once Molina and Pujols get theirs retired, you've got 3, 7, and 8. That's it. That's the single numbers that are left.
That's crazy.
So, yeah. But I mean, the Yankees don't have any.
Yeah.
So for they've gotten, not that they haven't had a lot of great players, obviously, but I think they sometimes get a little bit carried away with their number retiring too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, so I don't know. I feel like I would wait, and I think it's probably Yachty that gets his number retired next, because I think they retire Yachty's number at his last year.
Yeah, I can see that.
And I think they will wait for Albert to retire and maybe wait a year or two and retire his number. Unless something weird happens and he, you know, gets traded back to the Cardinals for the last, you know, month of his contract or something like that. But I think Yachty's probably the next one with Albert right behind him.
Yeah. That would not surprise me at all. And that may be the most fitting.
Yeah. Of course, that requires Yachty and Molina to retire. Yeah, that may be exactly. The problem.
Can a manager really?
Albert. Yeah. Albert might get it just because of being able to stay on the field.
Yeah.
Yachty staying on the field. I was just reading the Baseball Prospectus, and they were talking this big whole thing about how Yachty was going to be still playing, and Andrew Kisner III was going to be, you know, hoping to break through or whatever. How do you doubt it? I don't know. It's not a conversation I want to get into now because we've gone about our normal time. But, you know, this idea of what this a year or even a gap, but especially a whole year off means for guys like Molina, for guys like Wainwright, for guys, you know, even for guys like, you know, on the other side of the spectrum. What does a year off mean for Alex Reyes? You know? Here we are, you know, thinking he might actually get to pitch somewhere this year. And now he can't pitch. I mean,
it's tough.
You know, there's a lot of interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe we'll talk about that next week because who knows what we'll have to actually talk about.
There'll be another leak.
Maybe we'll get
it. I would assume.
Yeah, hopefully. Maybe they'll decide. What was it? Who was it? Somebody was going to take their league to like an island. I forgot who
it was.
Oh, the UFC was going to go to an island. And
somebody goes, that's exactly what Mortal Kombat was.
And it feels like it's just one step away from the most dangerous game.
So, exactly.
You know, it's like, okay, well, if you fight now, what about being hunted for your life?
Yeah, can you fight a shotgun?
Which, you know, granted, people would probably watch.
Yeah,
so.
Unfortunately. Nah.
Yeah, so... Anyway, all right. Well, appreciate anybody that's been listening. We know that, you know, there's probably less of you just because of, like we were saying, you're stuck at home. You don't necessarily want to listen to us ramble.
Yeah.
So, but we appreciate those that have stuck with us, and just we'll be back again probably next week. So until then, that's Alan. I'm Daniel. Good night.
Good night.
Sutter from the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss, and that's a winner! That's a winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!